Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Brownsville, Texas, lies along the Rio Grande and the border of Mexico, nearly 2,000 miles from Massachusetts. Members of this state's congressional delegation, along with fellow Democrats from Connecticut, Maine, and New Hampshire, traveled there this weekend after their offices, they said, were flooded with phone calls from constituents distraught over reports of migrant children separated from families. President Trump has reversed his policy of separating families, but as WBUR's Shannon Dooling found as she traveled to the border this weekend, there's still a lot of confusion, distress, and waiting.
Is this a big, complicated frustration for the city?
U.S. Congresswoman Shelley Pingree of Maine sits shotgun in a silver Mercedes SUV, talking to her driver, a Brownsville, Texas city official. She turns around, leaning over her left shoulder, and explains what it was like earlier in the day when she spoke with a group of migrant mothers in a nearby ICE detention facility.
That was the place where it was just truly confirmed in our conversations with the women who were being held there that they didn't know where their children were. They didn't have a chance to communicate with them. They didn't understand before their children were being taken that their children were going to be taken away.
These women are waiting behind barbed wire, Pingree says. They don't know where their children are. They were separated at the U.S.-Mexico border as a result of President Trump's now defunct family separation policy.
That was gut-wrenching. I mean, that was, you know, me and my colleagues basically in tears, with a lot of women in tears, you know, trying to say, like, we want to do something to help.
We're heading to the border. Pingree wants to see the asylum process with her own eyes after hearing reports of people being turned away, sometimes instructed to come back later.
We hear stories about people, you know, sitting there for days on end with their families. It could be raining. It could be this oppressive heat. They don't, you know, they can't leave. Border Patrol told us that, you know, women can be raped, they can be beaten, there can be all kinds of horrible things that happen if you leave that position. So to say to people, well, you know, just get up and wait, it's not like that.
We arrive at the border crossing. It costs a dollar, payable only in quarters, to get into Mexico at this point of entry. You drop the change into a turnstile, like the kind you'd pass through to get onto an amusement ride. We cross a pedestrian bridge over the chocolate milk-colored Rio Grande and enter Matamoros, Mexico. In the other direction, there's a makeshift Customs and Border Patrol checkpoint, two CBP agents, and a podium. Locals say they've never seen a preliminary checkpoint like this on the bridge into the U.S. A few people are waiting here, including a mother with her 19-year-old son and 15 and 8-year-old daughters. Her 3-year-old granddaughter is peering out through the holes in the chain-link fence running along the bridge. Rosa is from Honduras. She says she had her own business there. She'd sell clothes, shoes, some food, until the gang MS-13 started trying to extort her. She and her husband refused, so she says the gang killed her husband and tried to kidnap her oldest children. That's when she took her family and fled to Mexico, where they've been living for a year. But she says the gang found them in Mexico, too, and so now they're seeking asylum in the U.S. We're only using Rosa's first name because she's afraid that if the gang can find her in Mexico, they may be able to find her in the U.S.
¿Tiene familia en Massachusetts o no?
Un amigo en Boston que es el que nos va a recibir. Un amigo en Boston que me va a recibir.
She tells me she has a friend in Boston who's expecting her. But first, she has to make it through the makeshift checkpoint. If she does, and her family is able to apply for asylum, in time, they'll likely find themselves waiting again at the Border Patrol station, possibly in a detention facility. And maybe, if things go according to their plan, They might wait for a few hours with Sister Norma.
There's one person from Boston, but they're not here. They're going to bring them later on. They're in another parish right now where they spend the night. They don't have a bus ticket, so they're waiting to contact their family. It has not responded.
Sister Norma Pimentel heads up a humanitarian respite center run by Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley. It's in McAllen, Texas, about an hour west along the border. It's a place where immigrant families hoping to get asylum in the U.S. can go to take a hot shower, eat a meal, and get supplies for the next leg of their journey.
Where they can look forward to being with their, reuniting with their family and continuing that process. Hopefully that they're able to secure some kind of a political asylum case.
Pimentel says the center receives around 50 families a day, most of them from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Everyone in the facility looks exhausted. Some are slumping forward, resting their elbows on their knees and holding their heads in their hands. Many of the adults are sitting in blue plastic chairs, sort of staring off into the distance, waiting for their bus to bring them closer to their family. And in the corner, there's six or seven children playing with volunteers, laughing, and at least for these few moments, carefree. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Shannon Dooling.